Beyonce.
What?
Shea.
What?
Look. Oh, yeah. Don't talk to her again.
Calling all single ladies, independent women, and the guys who love them. Saturday, December 17th, Winnie Cooper presents Check These Grills at the Astoria Pub. It ain't nothing but a she thing, so expect femcees all night long. Spinning your favorites from Lil to Lauren to Latifah. It's Check These Grills, Saturday, December 17th at the Astoria Pub. For more information, go to winniecooper.net. Check These Grills is proudly sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio, everyone, on 101.9 FM on CITR on this cold, rainy night. And it's one of those nights at this time of year where we all want to feel delightful and warm and snuggly and cuddly. And sometimes I think when we want to be in relational aspects of our lives, it's really important to kind of touch in on yourself. And in the last little while, I've been doing a lot of shows in regards to the women's perspective. And so I'm very, very excited because I've been wondering what resources are out there for guys. What can we do to support the men in our lives around the world so that men can step up to the plate, feel strong, feel whole, feel really good and empowered, and be able to step into relationships and feel really good about themselves in doing so. So I'm very excited because there's a wonderful project. I actually just found out about it this morning at a networking meeting called the Remarkable Man Project. And I'm very, very excited to have the founder, Dwayne Clausen, on the show. So he'll be chatting about that. Welcome to the show, Dwayne.
Thank you very much, Carolyn. It's great to be on Sexy and Van City.
Well, it's very exciting. I mean, you just flew in from Alberta, and I met you for this morning at about 6:30 this morning, and as soon as I heard you talk about what you're doing, I was like, I'm so glad you're bringing this to Vancouver.
Oh, it's great, and Vancouver's really embraced it. We're just starting our second chapter here, and in the last month and a half, it's just been an incredible journey, incredible experience, and men are really gravitating towards this. They're saying, this is exactly what I need. This is what I want in my life, and thank you for bringing it. And it's interesting how it's the men are saying that, but the women are lighting up just as much.
I think so, too. I think I, as soon as I heard about it, I got very excited, and I'm like, we have to share this with our listeners because I think it's so important work that you're doing. So thank you for doing it.
I just have a technical issue. I can barely hear you.
Oh, okay. Let me turn my mic up. How's that?
That's much better.
Okay. Thank you. So my question to you is, for those listeners out there who haven't checked out your website yet, tell us a little bit about what is the Remarkable Man's Project. What is a Remarkable Man?
Well, the Remarkable Man Project actually it is a culmination of what I consider my perfect storm. And it started about 4 years ago, and I was very successful, had an outdoor advertising company. I had the dream relationship with the woman of my dreams, and I had a beautiful 7-year-old son from another relationship, and in about an 18-month period, I lost it all. I manifested crooks into my life in regards to partners with my company, and we went through a very nasty proxy battle. I lost my company. I won the company back, but there was nothing left to save. And I found out my 7-year-old son was not mine, and it just devastated me. And so I didn't realize it, but I was sinking fast. And the man that this woman had brought into, like, she brought into her life was on top of his game. He was strong, he was virile, he was powerful, and she had waited a lifetime for that man to show up. And when I experienced this collapse, that essence of who I was started to fade away. And men in particular, we really If our external world, if our work world is functioning at a top level, mm-hmm. so is our inner world. We identify so much of that external world with who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that and then lost everything. And then she didn't know how to handle a man that once had it all to where I ended up going. So we ended up leaving as friends, but I just knew that we wouldn't get back. Mm-hmm. But that was my perfect storm. And I don't tell you that to feel sorry for me. I just tell you that because I've been there. And I know exactly what it feels like to be at that place. And I started looking for resources.
Mm-hmm.
And there was very little available to me. And what was available was in a basement of a church or, you know, drumming naked in the forest. And that just didn't appeal to me.
No, I can understand. It's not
and I started looking at what women had in the way of resources, and I realized that women have a resource for pretty much every aspect of a woman's life. And I thought, why isn't that there for men?
Mm-hmm.
So when I started putting that out there, I realized that I started writing a book, and the book originally was called Showing Up, because it was about my life, and I was pointing fingers, I was blaming the world, and I realized that it was me, that I needed to take my life to another world, and or another level, if you will. And then my mastermind group challenged me. They said, there's a part in this book that really speaks to me, and it was about men becoming remarkable in their lives.
Hmm.
And so they challenged me to change the brand from Showing Up to The Remarkable Man. And so The Remarkable Man is about being champions to women, heroes to children, and brothers to each other.
That sounds pretty powerful. So how long has it been going on?
Well, The Remarkable Man Project, in its incarnation, just started in June.
Wow. And you're already on your second chapter. That's fantastic.
Yeah, the thirst for what this represents is it's out there. And men have been looking for something, even though they won't admit it, to perhaps their friends or even in the relationships that they're in, because they don't know how to express that part of themselves. But they could feel it. And by giving them a venue, an outlet to express who they truly are from an authentic self, it's time.
And has it been easier? Because I know you've got videos, you've also got resources on your website, which I thought would be a really good way, especially if somebody's not quite ready to reach out yet, to kind of peruse and see what there is. Like, you've got the plan there, you've got all sorts of new, really neat things on there.
Yeah, and typically that's what men need. Men need the soft approach. You know, I'll put my foot in. Does it resonate with me? Am I ready yet? And sometimes it takes a while. And you know, we're there for them whenever they're ready.
Which I think is great. And you've got a really awesome team as well, it looks like, on the site. I saw Dove Barron's name on there and a couple other people as well. So that was great.
Yeah, when the first video that I ever did about the Remarkable Man Project, I put that up on Facebook, and it went out to the right people. And all the individuals that are in either the men's movement or the transformational change movement, they saw it and said, "What's this about? I want to be involved. How can I help?"
That's fantastic. So in terms of men in society, I know in our pre-show chat I was telling you just in regards to Vancouver, one of the big things I find is sometimes, both men and women, sometimes I wonder if we actually understand if we have roles anymore. We tend, because I know so many times I hear over and over again from my listeners and my friends as well, that sometimes they'll go on a date and they have no idea whether it's a date or not.
Well, it's so true. There's right now in the times that we're at, men are more frustrated, angry, concerned, upset. They don't know what it means to be a man in today's world. the signals that they're getting are so mixed, and what once worked doesn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going, okay, how do I play this? What do I need to say? What do I need to do? And because of the societal norms, it's not working anymore.
No, it's not.
Right. And the challenge that we have right now is our pop culture. And if you tune into any television show or watch a commercial, you will see men being emasculated. They are the... yes, you're going to see cop shows and you know whatnot, and you'll see superheroes. But by and large, if you're watching comedy, it's dad or the guy that he's a doofus, he's an idiot, he's a bumbling fool,
mm-hmm.
and the wife has got it all together. She is, you know, a career woman, she's strong, she knows what's going on. But if she leaves dad with the kids, chaos ensues. And she comes home and she has to clean up dad's mess. And what's worse now is that the children are now more awake and aware than silly old dad. And so there's a lot of these messages that are getting out there
mm-hmm.
that men are just, you know, we're just flatlining. And it's okay. It's acceptable behavior. And it's not.
No, it's not at all. It's not okay for men. It's not okay for women. It's not okay for society in general.
No. And so Madison Avenue is taking full advantage of this and perpetuating a stereotype that just does not work.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, I've actually got some more questions to ask you about mm-hmm. this. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
What's even better than a one-room party? WinnieCooper.net's Multi-Room Christmas Party and Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada benefit with special guests Ono Yoko, Villa Kula, The Gay 90s, Velociraptor and Inherent Vices, Teen Days and Will Bangs. All proceeds from the WinnieCooper.net Multi-Room Christmas Party will go to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. Covers at the door, and for any more information, check out WinnieCooper.net.
And we are back at Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Wow, that got really loud there. Can you hear me now?
Oh, that's perfect.
I've got two mics on, so it might be just my laryngitis that has been recovering. So now I'm loud, clear, and sexy.
Oh, you've got a great voice.
Thank you. So if you're just joining us now, we are talking about the Remarkable Man Project, and I'm very, very lucky to have the founder, Dwayne, on with me. So before the break, we were just talking about just Madison Avenue and just about a lot of the stereotypes that are really portrayed. And it's interesting because we talk a lot about the stereotypes that with women, that but we don't talk a lot about men. So I'm really glad you're bringing that up, just about how it's kind of like, oh, he doesn't know how to be a dad. You know, what's he going to do if the woman goes out of the house? And it's sad. And we shouldn't be standing for this any longer.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, they're making this into something that it's not helping us, it's not serving us. And, you know, where's the higher bar to reach for when this seems to be where the comedy relief is? And it just doesn't work.
Well, I'm hoping that eventually we take a page from Sweden, which I'm a huge fan of some of their stuff. It's a lot different politically. Over there, what they've actually done is just on a government level, when men go for paternity leave, it's actually, I can't remember the exact percentage, but it's significantly higher. It's either 80 or 85% of their salary. So compared to here, it's actually quite neat. And they're actually finding that it's just more of a solid family model just in general
mm-hmm.
by giving men that support, which I thought was terrific.
Absolutely.
And I keep hoping politically things will change like that, and hopefully we'll take a page from them about certain things like that.
We're moving, and that's what keeps me moving forward and excited, because we are evolving. We are moving towards something that's absolutely bliss.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to get there.
So I guess what is the first step for someone who Like, because tonight, for example, in Vancouver, you were here. They got to have you in the flesh, which is great. And just talking. So how does it start right from the beginning where somebody checks out the website, they want to come and test drive and see what the first step is?
Yeah, right now the site is in beta, just so the listeners, when they do go, it's not fully functional just yet. We're almost ready. And when it goes, we're doing a big launch.
Mm.
And what they'll essentially get is they'll be able, this is going to be the largest leadership and empowerment portal for men.
Mm.
And when I say it for men, women, you can check it out and see where the future of men is going. Because the Remarkable Man Project is there to help men, challenge them to go from where they are right now to where it is they know they can get to, and that's being the remarkable man. And it's showing up in every aspect of their lives. And so we've got resources from, you know, you name it, from relationships to their career, to what's going on in the world and what they need to do to step up.
What are some of the big common things that you're seeing in regards to relational issues that are coming up for guys?
Well, you kind of touched on it in regards to, you know, how are these guys showing up, and they don't know if it's an interview date or if it's a real date. But what I'm finding is that, and even from my own experience, is that women are empowered, and they're evolving at a tremendous rate.
Mm-hmm.
And they're eclipsing where men are at. And I use the example, if you were to go to a seminar of an illuminary, maybe it's Wayne Dyer or Deepak Chopra, or you name it, 70% of that audience will be women. And the 30% that are guys, half of them came kicking and screaming. And so the challenge is, what are men doing to wake up to what's going on? So what happens is that they are dating, or they're about to date, a very strong, educated, sexy woman that knows herself.
Mm-hmm.
So he shows up and he's trying to be that guy. But what happens is he goes, am I to be the sensitive guy? Am I supposed to be, you know, the guy that gets her? Or am I supposed to be, you know, the Don Juan? Am I supposed to ravish her and take, you know, sweep her off her feet? And so there's all these mixed signals now, and he doesn't know how to show up. And in most cases, it's not the correct one. And so even as we're evolving, what women are looking for right now is a man that is in his authentic masculine power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole new age, the sensitive new age guy, it goes well for a while, but the long run, he needs to show up in a very masculine, authentic way. And there used to be the egoic masculine. That doesn't work anymore. But there's a very powerful self that's in him that she's looking for.
So instead of a man clubbing us over the head and dragging us back to the cave, which can be sexy sometimes, but coming up with different ways to bring that up, and sometimes the first date may not be quite the time to do that.
But it's still being in his authentic power, knowing himself and what he needs to, you know, reflect that. What does that look like to her? And it's just being his confidence, his energy. It's his freedom to be who he is, not try to be fake, not try to, you know, say the things that he thinks she wants to hear. And chances are he wouldn't be right anyway.
That's true. I was actually going to ask in regards to being authentic, because I think sometimes, both for men and women, and I used to be an actor, so sometimes whenever something's new, it's kind of freaky, and especially when you want people to like you. So whether it's an audition, a job interview, or it's that person where you don't know if that's going to be the person you're going to be with for the rest of your life, it's kind of freaky, and you want them to like you. So my question to you is, do you recommend having a breath practice? Because I know yoga is really big on the coast, and I know Dr. Ian Kerner, who wrote the book She Comes First and the Sex Detox Diet, actually does recommend it, but is just curious in regards to the work that you're doing, if it's something that you endorse or encourage.
Oh, absolutely. I think that when it comes to connecting on those deeper levels, anything that a guy can do to step up his game, it not only for her but for himself, he gets to learn more about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And within himself, that and the confidence that he's looking for, that's got to come from deep within.
Yeah.
And without doing any of that inner work, and a lot of the dating scenes for guys, that we talk about the inner game. And it's that inner game that we get ourselves first at a very deep level, that's the only time we're going to be authentic with her and show up in that authentic masculine strength that she's looking for.
How does it work in this day and age where there are books like The Game by Neil Strauss? There's a lot of stuff about almost like trying to be a player, where it's all these tricks, like wearing like a really cute, funky piece of jewelry, for example, so then that way she might comment on it if you're trying to meet somebody at, say, the Starbucks or something like that.
Well, they call it peacocking.
And I love that term.
It's such...
it's very appropriate.
I see it all the time, and I go, oh, okay, yeah, he's a follower, or, you know, he's part of the community, if you will. And it is a game. It's all a psychological manipulation. But I see it, but there's a lot of truth to it.
Okay.
And
describe that to me. I'm very curious.
These guys have a, and let's get away from the player component.
Okay, that was my vision with the gold chains.
Let's look at Joe Average, or maybe even a guy that is socially challenged, and he sees this very beautiful woman, and he wants to approach her, but he's got nothing, and she hears, you know, let's take it to the bar scene, if you will. She hears everything. You're beautiful, you're sexy, you're all these things. But what's going to attract her is something unusual. So even if he does not have the look, or he's peacocking, if he can approach her and say something that's going to resonate with her, then she's going to go, hey, wait a minute, this guy's different. What's up with this? And it's something that they teach in these programs, like The Game, where... You know, you can look at from these guys that are, you know, the player, but there are some aspects that really help the guy that needs it the most to break the ice, to go, wow, I actually talked to a pretty girl tonight. Oh, my God. And she actually responded. And so that's where I see the value in it.
Okay. How does a man basically take that and actually own it, where it's actually truly him coming through eventually?
Well, it's understanding where the relationship, or if he's actually coming from an authentic place, and he's not trying to be that guy. One of the biggest things that the challenge that we have is if we project out what it is our dream woman looks like. Well, what is she looking for? Is that guy? Is she going to be attracted to that guy? So what I tell my remarkable man is that you've got to be the guy she's looking for. You can't fake that. If she's looking, let's say for example, she's into health and fitness, and she is externally motivated. You know, she loves, you know, guys that are in shape, and this guy is, you know, say he's 40 pounds overweight. Is it realistic for him to go up to her and say, and then he comes back, oh, I got shot down, and then he perpetuates the story that it's all about her and starts cutting her down and to his buddies, and, oh, she's this or she's that or she's, you know, she's one of those girls. But the reality is he's not even a match for her. And so I tell the guys, that, listen, you know, she's got there's a taste, there's this, a look that she likes, and we approach the situation with our own value system. And so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's okay. It's her values, it's your values.
And sometimes it's just a matter of timing. I know for my partner, he's a smoker, and it took me a really, really long time, and a lot of my friends were actually surprised at the beginning when I, as he put it, I finally relented after 10 years of knowing each other.
Oh, wow.
And I'm so glad I did, but it took me a really long time because that was on my deal breaker list.
Yep.
So sometimes if you're persistent and you're authentic and you stick around.
And he's worth it.
Yeah. And all the other qualities are there in terms of the matchup. There can be some good stuff too. Just for guys, so that I just want to put that out there too, because that guy who may be 40 pounds overweight, if he is trying to get in shape, it may be not the right fit immediately, because of course people get 97% of their information from what they see, 3% from what they hear.
Absolutely.
But
and I've seen it too, where a guy may not be the societal picture of what attractive is, but he holds himself well. And he projects out an air of confidence, and he knows himself, and he knows what he's looking for. And women aren't as wired for the physical as guys are. And so if he can come across from that powerful place where she's going, wow, I like where this guy's going, I love his energy, then that works very, very well.
That's true. So how do we get that across besides having you on the show a little bit more often so we can talk to guys in Vancouver and the girls to share, spread that word?
Well, I'm back in Vancouver next in January.
Okay. That's good news. So tell me about when, because you mentioned you're starting a second chapter and it's in Vancouver, right?
Yeah, we actually, it's at the Kitsilano Community Center.
Okay, so tell me, paint me a picture. If I say I was a guy,
yep,
and I am joining this chapter, what does that look like? So is that like a weekly meeting or?
Yeah, we've been every 2 weeks, and now in January we go to every week.
Mm.
And essentially what they get is, they learn about what the Remarkable Man Project's all about. They get they see what the online component is and how they dial into that from an international standpoint. But the biggest impact that they get is the community involvement at our chapter meetings. And we have what's called, there's two takeaways. So the first takeaway is empowerment. So it'll be about 30 to 40 minutes of empowerment. And that might be on any aspect of the Remarkable Man philosophy. So we might be talking about champions to women and what it takes to step up their game and what it is that women of today are looking for. And so we'll deepen into that. Or it might be heroes to children. And they might be dads. It might be their guardians, their stepfathers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having challenges with, you know, stepping up in a big way to be the heroes to them. So there might be aspects of that. And then, of course, as brothers to each other. And so we really want them to feel that they've got a community.
Mm-hmm.
The second takeaway is where we deepen into what's really going on in the world. And it's called the Remarkable Mansers. And so
I like that, Remarkable Mansers.
This is where a brother can throw out a question, and it could be on business, it could be, you know, what's going on in his world. It can be as deep as he wants to take it. As a lot of men right now, we're wired to keep everything inside ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain amount we'll share, and had a great piece on Facebook that I put out yesterday about authenticity. And one of our faculty members and a dear man that even you mentioned as well, Dov Barron,
mm-hmm,
he commented on it about how there's a inauthenticity about being authentic. It's almost like it's the nouveau thing to be authentic. People aren't really going there.
Yeah,
they're saying things that we want to hear. And a lot of ways that's true. But in our Remarkable Mansers segment, we get to the core of what's going on. And in a lot of ways, guys are shedding so much pain and hurt and drama that's been going on in their world that they can't share with anybody, even their best friends, because they're so afraid of being judged, being seen as weak or less than. But here is a forum where they can throw that into the mix and see what happens. And it's not about me facilitating. It's the collective consciousness that's in that circle that the magic comes out. Because sometimes it gets pretty raw. And some guys are uncomfortable. And I see this dynamic, this physiology that gets played out, where they're leaning back in their chairs, their arms are crossed, and they hear this and they're not participating, but then the answers start coming out and they do what's called the lean in. And even though they're not participating, they're leaning forward and they're engaged. They're going, oh my God, yeah, that's the stuff. Wow, exactly, I'm going through that too. And they're thinking this, and they're now you can see they're fully engaged, and they realize that this is the connection they've been waiting for. And I've seen it where remarkable men, you know, they've joined, and in a very short period of time, they've got a friend, a brother, that it took an entire lifetime to get outside of the remarkable man, and it's only been done in a couple of weeks.
Wow!
It's one of our phrases, if you will, is "I've got your back." And it's something that most men don't hear unless it's a sports analogy. And
that's
it's
true.
Mostly just said in jest or, you know, it's, you know, hey, I got your back. But they don't really mean it. But here, no matter what's going on in their world, we've got your back.
How do you keep it so it doesn't turn into a pity party where there's the same person every week who kind of takes advantage of? Is there any, as in terms of code of conduct or... Okay, thank you.
It's a great question, Caroline. And
I've been in some women's groups, so I always have to ask.
Concerns about, you know, and this is why I wanted the Remarkable Man Project to be different than most. This is not a victim support network. This is about taking charge of your life and taking it to another level, and we're going to help you get there. And to kind of deflect any of that hijacking, I call it. Of the meeting, we keep the shares to about 5 minutes.
Perfect.
And they can be raw as real, but what we'll do is we'll go, okay, so what we're hearing is this, and we'll rephrase, we'll mirror, and then if it's still something that hasn't been resolved, then we just get them to talk, you know, afterwards we can, we can deepen into that. But now it's time for another brother to be able to share. And you know, we're very vigilant about that because that energy can draw it down.
Yes.
And so we want them to feel empowered rather than
a pity party.
A place of weakness and a victim.
No, I think there's enough places that both men and women feel victimized in life or depleted. Actually, John Gray's most recent book was all about just men and women actually have higher levels of cortisol just on a hormonal level, which is the hormone where, you know, when you see like a child being run over by a car where all of a sudden you've got superhuman strength and you can push that off, where we've just got these escalating levels of that. So I think men and women, we're in pretty stressed lives these days.
It is, and it will continue to do so. We're ramping up into a pretty chaotic time right now, and most people are experiencing that right now.
What are some key things for those of us who are in relationships to basically support so we don't fall into those bad spots?
Well, it's just understanding where we're at. It's understanding where... the relational dynamics are, if that I think the challenge that we have right now is that we're in such a disposable society. society, and relationships right now are, it just seems like it's just so disposable.
Mm-hmm.
The average new marriage now, in the last 4 years now, it's 4 years.
Wow.
And online dating is so prolific right now that people are taking that first date as the end-all, be-all. Oh, there's a hair out of place. Or, you know, I didn't like where that freckle was. And they go back, and there's 20 other people that are in their mailbox that they go, oh, hey, you know, I'm going to go with that person. Whereas before, we took the time to get to know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't all based on the superficial.
Yeah.
And we've got to get back to what it is that when we're sharing a life experience, and I always come back to, we're in each other's lives for a reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Hmm.
And it's up to us to pick what that person's going to be in our lives for. And typically, the lifetime component, that's family. We can't do anything about that. They're in our lives for a life.
Mm-hmm.
But most relationships are a reason or a season. And so we can see it as this wonderful dynamic that we can learn from each other. And what happens is that once that learning stops, we tend to, okay, now I'm not getting anything right now. It's time to look elsewhere. But if we really are feeling that level of love and our values match, it's time to dig deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And see where that gold is.
And sometimes that's really hard.
It is really hard. And a lot of people are not taking the time to make that work. It's just so easy right now to get out and go, you know what, this and this doesn't work. See you, bye. And I think even now being single doesn't have the
appeal
stigma it once had.
No.
It's almost chic now. It's a kind of a sexy thing to, I'm single, things are going great, and I'm living life on my terms.
Mm-hmm.
And so relationships now become an option. And I think people are, it's a good place too, where we're now, this is what I want. This is what I am not, I'm not settling for this. This is what I want.
So are we becoming too high maintenance within ourselves?
There is aspects of that.
Okay.
But what is going to make us happy? And that is the bottom line. That's what life's all about. What is making us happy? And is it another person? Is it, and when I say that, is that person in their lives adding to that happiness? And if it is, then you got to run with it.
Thank you. No, I think we really definitely do. I think it's really important, especially today. It's interesting what you said about the online dating as well, where it's, sometimes I think of it as almost like we live in a reality TV world. I love social media. I've actually been live tweeting all through this as well, using, just so you know, if you're checking it on Twitter afterwards, I've been using Remarkable Man Project for the hashtag for it, just to pull things up. But it really is. I've had guy friends actually describing the process of online dating as actually online shopping, where it's like it's not working. Let's just click, oh, this one looks good. Let's try this one.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head. It is akin to online shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, flavor of the week.
Yeah, or the day.
Or the day. There you go.
The moment.
Mm-hmm.
I have known people who have had 5 dates in one day.
I've heard that story too. And in the same location. Next. Yeah.
So if the average of lasting of a marriage or a relationship is about 4 years, what can we do? Is there such thing of being together until you're in your 90s still?
I think that we, that old, the death to your part and my soulmate and all those things, I think it's there, but I think as humanity moves forward, I think we are evolving past that need for that long-term component, because I think what's happening is that we bring people into our lives for a learning experience. And once that lesson is done, we're not so inclined to go, you know what, I want to repeat that, or I want to go through that again, or I want to experience that lesson for 3 or 4 years or 10 years. It's just like we're evolving to a place where we're being nurtured by these short-term situations.
So it's almost like we're addicted to the honeymoon period.
Yeah, and I think there are those people that if they can keep the juice flowing and keep it dynamic and keep it always learning, always growing, then it works.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as that fades away, then instead of working on it, it's like, oh, who else could do that? And in some ways, people have let go of something wonderful and have a very difficult time finding it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it really is one of those catch-22s. But I don't think the dynamics these days, and this is why divorce and relationships, and it's not the same as what it once was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our journey is such a dynamic one that it takes more and more people to fulfill what it is that we're meant to be doing on this planet.
I'm going to agree and disagree with that. I guess I'm kind of a romantic at heart, so I still want to hope that there are such things as being with somebody till you're 90. And I actually asked a couple that had been together for over 60 years what the secret was. And the woman actually told me, which I thought was interesting, it was that she had to basically realize that she kept dating different men because as her husband continued to evolve, each time she had to start relearn who he was again and continue dating him. And so not expecting things to stay the same, because the only thing that is constant is going to be change.
And there, you nailed it right there in regards to evolving. As long as they're both evolving and they're running parallel tracks, they can move to something wonderful for the rest of their lives, as long as they're both challenging each other. And of course, the love and the romance and every other aspect of the relationship is there.
Mm-hmm.
But once that, if that challenge isn't there, depending on how they're wired, the relationship can lose its steam and, you know, they go their separate ways.
That's true. And I hate breakups personally, even though sometimes I've learned a lot from them on a personal level, and sometimes it's just not the right fit. But I guess I am a romantic at heart.
And I'm a romantic too. I'd like to see and believe in the idea of love and longevity, and it's just sadly just what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not mirroring that back.
So what is love in today's society then?
I think it's love, there's two different, I mean, if we talk romantic love, or there's self-love, the authentic love. And if we come from that place where we're loving ourselves first, then that romantic love can last a heck of a lot longer. And we don't take the time to love ourselves first. And that's where it's got to start. And so many people are looking for love outside of themselves. And that person's going to make everything all right. Being with him, being with her, this is what it's all about. And they get jazzed and excited and, oh, I'm in this great relationship. But then it starts to fade and they're wondering what the heck's going on. They didn't come to the table with themselves complete. And instead of coming, you know, you're allowed a little bit of baggage. Carry-on's great. But you know, if you've got a few crates there, it's and you haven't been in your truth getting into the relationship, it's going to, you know, you're going to be found out.
And sometimes people don't realize it until they get into relationships, but it is really important after, especially really significant relationships, giving yourself that opportunity to date yourself. And I personally think that even when you are in a relationship and you're, you know, practicing monogamy, that you should still be dating yourself as well, because I think it's really, really important. But once you end a relationship with another person, it's important to let yourself shrink back down to your natural size and really discover what that is again.
I agree.
So what's next for you? You've got a lot going on. You've got your chapter in Alberta. You've got a chapter that's starting here in January. You've got a book coming out on the website. So there's a lot going on.
There is, and we're expanding to Seattle, Toronto, Chicago, New York, Dallas. Very, very soon in the new year, we're expecting to have about 10,000 members.
10,000.
By August, and this is a movement. This is my Everest, and very excited about where this is going and what it will do for men and for women as well.
How are you hoping it will change in terms of, because you've mentioned that you'd like men to, when they're in their authentic selves, to be basically the kids' heroes, champion for women's, and of course, obviously, champion for themselves. What would a nation, a world of remarkable men look like?
Well, right now, we're going through an unparalleled point in history. And what once was working isn't working anymore. And we're about to go through the biggest change in human history. And we are in need of new leadership from a very authentic place. And the veil is dropping. And that which was based on a facade or an illusion is all breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
So in its place is the need for that authentic leadership and living by example. And, you know, the sports heroes, all these things are starting to crumble. You get these people at the all in their ivory towers or the pedestal, and then the chinks in the armor start coming out. Well, he's not the leader we thought he was. He's not the sports star we thought he was. He's not the movie star we thought he was or she was. And so it's time now for men to step up and play in this world from a very empowered place, that men are looking at other remarkable men going, wow, that guy has it going on. That's what I want in my relationship. I want to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get there? And then women are going, that's what I'm looking for. I want him to be that kind, sensitive man, but I want him to show up as the authentic powerhouse I know he can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that children are going, that's my dad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my dad. And, or, you know, the stepchildren are totally in alignment with, you know, what the stepfather's all about and are totally embracing this energy that's come into their family. And then the other aspect is that our friendships are so nurtured that it's okay to say anything that's on our minds and know that we're okay with it and we're here for each other. And we've got each other's back. When we bring that all together, we can't help but have a much better viewpoint moving forward.
And that sounds like a much better place. Mm-hmm. If you could wave a magic wand and basically train little boys from the time that they're maybe 4 years old, and just a lot of the stuff that you're teaching now to become a remarkable man, what would that look like?
Well, it's a great question, Caroline, because men do not have any transition into manhood. We're boys. Oh, you're a man now. Go and be a man. And what's happening right now is that there is these boys are going, what is it? What is my what does it look like to be a boy? Or what am I projecting out to? What do I want out of this experience when I move into manhood?
Mm-hmm.
So here I have dad or, you know, whoever my male role model is. How is that being, how is he getting nurtured from an authentic masculine place?
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways, children are being emasculated. Boys are being emasculated because mom has had to take over those roles in such a powerful way. She's doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
She's the breadwinner. She's having to raise him. She's having to do everything for him. And so the challenge is, what does that look like for him down the road?
Mm-hmm.
And what messages is he getting? Is it what she wants him to be? And does she have a clear idea as to what that's supposed to look like?
Mm-hmm.
And is he going to embody that? And is it going to serve him? So what I would do, and this is what I've done, my son, when I found out he wasn't mine, one of the challenges that we had is that I have no rights in being in his world because
wow.
of the fact that I'm not genetically linked to him. And so because of that, I can't see him. I can't, you know, all these different dynamics. But I know that I have had such a powerful impact on his life
mm-hmm.
that when he's ready, he'll seek me out.
Yes.
And I know he doesn't have a male role model in his life right now. And that four-year-old little boy, what he's looking for is that role model that he's so excited that that's my dad or that's my stepfather or that's my
uncle
or grandpa or my mom's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And what the guys need to do is understand how important it is to connect with those children of
mm-hmm.
single moms or if they're new into a relationship. The dynamic that he can do, and I'm not saying taking over dad's job, but if he's not there, he's so looking for that role model.
Mm-hmm.
He's desperate for it. And, I mean, the last guy is to be a child again. I just love that.
Yeah, and I think that's important. And I think it's good as well, especially if boys are getting that opportunity. I think it's really good, too, because it encourages guys to really connect with kids just in general.
And it's not the video game. It's actually, you know, it's getting
that's a human
out
being.
There and having that one-on-one time.
Mm-hmm.
Explore nature. Get out. Get where the two of you are actually having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what, you know, floats his boat. What's he jazzed about? Even at 4 years old, he's curious about the world.
So if that four-year-old, if that puts falls into place where it's strong male role models, what would you like in terms of modeling them in terms of getting them to be champions of women later on?
Well, it's understanding where, one, it's letting them know that television is not the depiction of what, you know, that's not the real world.
Yeah.
And to be a champion to women is to understand what it is that what they're looking for, where women have come from.
Mm-hmm.
I know it even at 4 years old, it's a little bit of a deeper subject.
Mm-hmm.
But it's understanding what it is that we can do to how he shows up in front of mom.
Hmm.
You know, and showing him what love looks like.
Yes.
To mom. And showing him how respect looks,
mm-hmm.
and being that authentic man, and he sees how mom is reacting to that, and how she's responding, then he's got a very positive neural link that goes, yeah, that if I do this, then she's going to react to this, and by the time he's in his teens, he's got a much more balanced look at what even when he starts to date.
Mm-hmm.
How he's supposed to show up and be the gentleman and be, you know, how she wants him to show up.
And I think that'll be great too, especially if, I don't know if you're familiar with Harville Hendrick's work. He wrote the books, Receiving
Yes.
Love and How to Get the Love You Want. And he's got the theory, the Imago theory, where we tend to date people who basically childhood traumas in a lot of ways, which is why sometimes it feels like we're dating the same person over and over again. It's like, oh my gosh, I just broke up with you. How did you turn out to be you again? And maybe we'll have less conversations like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a wonderful book called The Indigo Children.
Mm.
And in it, when I held my son for the very first time, it teaches a process that children do not see with their eyes the way we do until, I think it's about 6 weeks, when the rods and cones really start to form.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll notice that, and you moms will really understand this too, is that infants feel energy.
Mm.
And so in some people, they'll just coo, and you put them in someone else's arms, they cry. And
yeah.
So it's like, oh, I can't put them to sleep, and then put them in, you know, grandma, she's just got a gift.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
child's asleep in no time. But there's a very powerful technique that when you hold the child for the first time, you look into their eyes until you see your reflection in their pupils.
Hmm.
And what happens is quite magical. And they will start, they'll track in, and they'll read your energy. And it's almost like a connection to the other side.
Wow.
And so I held him, and I said, and I remember this in, I think it was one of the very first Chicken Soup for the Soul, where a four-year-old little girl was welcoming home her baby brother. And the parents had a baby monitor in the nursery. And it was late at night, and they're downstairs, and they heard the nursery door open. And they heard the creaking of the crib. And then the baby starts cooing, and the little girl goes, "Hello, tell me about God. I've forgotten."
Oh, wow.
And, oh, my God. It just, the parents were just, they couldn't believe what they were hearing. And there's so much truth to that, where children are so connected to what's really going on, and it's up to us. You know, we're the ones that are responsible for how far that extends into their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So when I held my son, I said the same thing, and we ended up having this incredible dynamic that whenever we got together, and we had a different, we had a long distance. Connection, but I would see him every 3 weeks, and we would do the eye thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as he got older, you know, 3 years old, he'd be like, "Dad," and that would be the first thing we would do.
Wow.
And we would look into each other's eyes until we saw each other's reflection, and then we knew we were present to each other.
Hmm.
And so it was our little thing, and it became his game that whenever we connected. And it's just one of those powerful things that, you know, dads can do. And I challenge any parent, if they've got young children, sit them down and just have a fun game and look into my eyes and look at each other's pupils, and then tell them what that represents, that I see you on such a different level.
Which goes right into Tantra later on, in terms of connecting with partners.
It does, absolutely.
Dwayne, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm so grateful. And so for all my listeners out there, I want you to check out the Remarkable Man Project, because it's pretty terrific. So please check out the website and check out the book. And when they come back to Vancouver, I want to really encourage you to go check it out. And for those of you who are listening who are all around the world, I want you to encourage to just check out online and all the resources, and there's going to be more stuff going up. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Carolyn. It's been a pleasure to be on your show. They can go onto my Facebook page at Dwayne Klassen, and they can click on there, and they'll be brought up to speed as to what any of the happenings and how we're progressing and moving forward.
And they can sign up for when your book comes up.
Absolutely.
As well. Up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a wonderful night, everyone.